Let's get back to Terry Flanagan now. Terry, what have you got for me? Another report.
Another report, yes. I was down in County Cork, or Mallow to be precise. Mm-hmm. Beautiful part of the country. I went down to meet Rory Henneberry. Rory's a dog trainer and he set up an organisation called the Canine Wildlife Project. And the idea of this project is to train dogs to go abroad to Africa to assist rangers in combating poaching.
Oh.
In effect, he's training them to become conservation dogs. Well, I caught up with him as he was putting his latest dog, Heidi, through her paces.
Hi. Rory, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Terry. How are you?
I hope I'm not interrupting.
Not in the slightest.
This is Heidi, is it?
This is Heidi.
She is a Belgian Malinois.
A Belgian Malinois, she is. And we're just getting her ready there now for her upcoming adventures.
Well, before we go into the adventures, I was looking at the adventures you were doing with her here. As I was walking up to you, I didn't want to disturb you there. You have this course set out here. You're training her to go up, under, below, left, right. Explain what you're doing.
So what I'm trying to do is build up her stability and her ability to take direction under stress and direction under pressure, and to learn to work with her handler as part of a team. Ultimately, it's stabilizing her under stress, stabilizing her in the movement so she learns to move with me and move with her future handler.
Now, you said future handler. You are training her to send her abroad. Explain what's going to happen.
Yeah, so Heidi's going to travel to Mozambique to assist a ranger and a team of rangers there mm-hmm. with the troubles they're having with poaching on the reserve where they work.
And you're training her here to be prepared for that?
Correct. We're going to travel out with her and spend 2 weeks in Africa with the dog and the new handler, training the handler and preparing him for a life with Heidi, yes.
And what's going to happen when she's there?
Initially, it'll be an intense period of training, more so for the handler than the dog, but to teach them both to operate and work as a team. And she is going to be working as a conservation dog, so primarily in the prevention and detection of would-be poachers who are targeting both the wildlife on the property and then the high-target animals on the property, like elephant and leopard and cheetah.
What exactly will she do? What will her day-to-day role be?
Her primary function is to detect people on the property who shouldn't be there, people who might be in the process of gathering intelligence as to where the rhino are or where the elephant are and their movements, and then furthermore to that, if it needs be, to track them and follow them, say, in order to detain and question them as to their reasoning for being there.
So will she be an attack dog?
No, not an attack dog, no. Her primary function is to act as a detection dog, so she's detecting people and tools on the property who would be there for ill purposes. So people with the intention of poaching and killing on the property, she's there to assist the rangers in making them aware that they're there, and if they become aware that there's people on the property, then to locate them and follow them.
And after she finds them?
Well, usually she's backed up by a team of rangers, so she'd be working with a team of rangers, including government forces, and what they do then is try and bring the suspects under detention and detain them and bring them for questioning.
Now, tell me a little bit about the training here, because we're here in County Cork, we're in this beautiful location. It's a lovely mild day, it's, what, about 20 degrees centigrade. How can you acclimatise Heidi for what she's going to come across in Africa?
First and foremost, she lives and works in the elements here, and while the temperatures don't compare, it's a hardy breed. They're a tough breed and they adapt to the environment quite efficiently, in that when she lives here in Ireland, she's got a heavy white undercoat, which in a very short period of time will be shed, and she'll change in colour. She'll be a darker mahogany, dark colour, and she'll lose that undercoat, which won't regrow while she's there.
I must say she looks very, very happy and content here. She's not paying any attention to me at all. Is that why, or is that how you've been training her?
Yes, exactly. So she's very secure around people. She's very safe around people. She doesn't see people as a threat, but she's also aloof to strangers. So I don't want her overly interested in people she doesn't know. She's very good in crowds, and she'll walk through crowds of people, and she'll work around people in distraction. But I don't want her overly focused on strangers, overly affectionate with people she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see joining us here now is Karina. Karina, You're involved in this project as well, and you're the local vet.
Well, I'm local and I'm not local. My clinic is in Kilmare, but I'm down here with Rory about twice a week for training the dogs as well with him.
You belong to an organisation, a charity. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I got to know Rory actually when I got my own German Shepherd's dog off him nearly 4 years ago and started training my own dog with him. And he told me one day about this idea he had about bringing dogs to Africa for supporting anti-poaching units. And it just from there developed into more and more. And then we founded the charity and got charitable status, and it took off from then.
And you already have sent two dogs over to Africa that you've trained here.
Yes. So the first one was AK and the second one was Nico. They both went to Namibia, to different locations, but yeah, both to Namibia.
And how are they doing?
They're doing very well. They're doing great.
Heidi here. When do you hope that Heidi can go?
It depends a bit on the handler as well and how they're set up, but we'll be hoping either in November or at the beginning of the year.
Rory, tell me what will happen when you get to Mozambique then.
We're going to arrive into, I think it's Zambia, and travel 5 hours to the Zambezi River, and then it's going to be a 20-kilometre journey by boat to the reserve where she's going to end up working. And from day one, we start the training. So it's not a massive period of time, but the big job once we get there is to get the handler's skills up to the level where he is comfortable and confident in handling the dog and operating with the dog, and leave him with the experience and the capabilities to advance her training and bring her training on. But it's an intense couple of weeks trying to get the handler and the dog acclimatized and working together as an efficient team.
I would have thought, having watched Heidi here with you for the last half hour or hour or so, she is very attached to you. When you get to Mozambique and a new handler is going to take her on, is that not going to confuse the dog somewhat?
It's difficult for the dog. It's difficult for the handler. Once the dog is began the process of bonding, and I will be the biggest distraction to the handler and the dog team when I'm there, because she will look to me for direction when she's under stress. And in that regard, it actually gets a little bit easier for the new handler once I leave, because she will look to bond more strongly with him. And I think it's important to point out that the dog lives with the handler. It sleeps in the house with him. It moves with him. It works with him all day, every day. So it's very much, they become a team. Mm. And while we are upping the skills of the handler while I'm there, and they start building the bond from day one, it's really after I leave that distraction of me being there is gone, and she will look. She's a young dog, and once I'm gone, she will look to make an alliance. She'll look to bond with someone, and she will be getting a lot of praise and attention and affection and living and moving with this handler. So it doesn't take long for that bond to form.
But the bond at the moment is definitely you and her. I've watched you with
sure.
her, and she's not coming near me. She's not going near anyone else. She's watching you all of the time.
Sure.
It's going to be a hard time, that 2 weeks, when you're there in the background and the new trainer is taking her on, and she's looking at him and she's looking at you. And do you worry about that time, that short period of time?
It is intense, and there is a big responsibility on us that we set the dog up to succeed, set the new handler up to succeed, and there's a big responsibility on us to accomplish that goal. So that is our goal for the time there, that we teach him how to deal with distraction, teach him how to deal with stress as a team and as a leader of the dog, and then hopefully that's our goal, to mm-hmm. accomplish that.
Karina, will it be a stressful time for that 2 weeks when they arrive there? The diet will be different, the water will be different, everything will be different.
Well, yeah, there is a lot of changes for the dogs to deal with when they go over. So, of course, we try to keep as many as possible things the same. So we try to bring some of the dry food that she's on here sometimes, you know, with us. And we try to keep a lot of things, as many as possible anyways, the same as here.
And but then yes, gradually wean her
exactly.
off them, I presume.
Yeah, yeah. But it is no doubt stressful for them. But the fact that she has been trained for nearly 2 years now in that style of training, they are used to deal with stress of all different kind of sorts, which makes it then easier for them to adapt there as well.
Do you worry about things like parasites and infection when they get there?
Yes, of course, and not just when they get there, but also then when they live there. So we always kind of inform ourselves in advance, you know, what is particularly dangerous there for them, because it might be completely different to obviously what's a problem here. So, for example, in Mozambique, the tsetse fly is a very big problem for them. So that's kind of things that we try to rule out as many as possible in advance.
I would have thought something as well, like snakes. That dog has not seen a snake here.
Yes.
Gets to Mozambique. I'm sure it's going to see plenty of snakes. How will the dog react to something it has never seen before?
There is definitely things, as you said, that we can't train here because they're just not here. Like snakes. Like with regards to the snakes, the fact that she'll be all the time actually tracking on lead, definitely the risk will be decreased of her meeting a snake without kind of someone being, you know, there with her and holding her back. If we get across actually snakes or even sometimes spiders or something that is potentially poisonous to her, we try to actually train then in that situation with her so that she'll get an aversion against it. But yes, of course, there are risky situations there for her, like that we try to prepare her as much as possible.
Rory, you told me that you've already sent two dogs over to Africa. Tell me how successful they've been.
It's difficult to measure specific success because their first job is that of a deterrent. So you will see a decrease immediately in the numbers of attempted poaching in the area where they're deployed. In other words, as soon as the dog arrives, the information that the dog is there travels very fast to the people living in and around the area. They call it the bush telegraph, and it's an efficient method of communication. So the dog is a very efficient deterrent to people. And then what it does is it really speeds up the capabilities of the rangers. So whether in the worst case scenario they're arriving at an incident where an animal has been dispatched, it speeds up their ability to track the perpetrators. If it's a case where there's suspects on the property and they've got a report of suspects, they can go to an area and track from that point, and the dog really speeds up that capability. So you end up with more arrests, more apprehensions, and a decrease in the actual attempts in the training just from her presence alone as a preventive measure. You can see an increase in the number of apprehension. You can see an increase in the efficiency of the teams and the speed in which they can apprehend suspects. And in the places where they have been deployed, there has been a decrease in the number of efforts of poaching. But it would be misleading to say for certain that all the credit should go to the presence of the dog.
So it won't be long now before you travel to Mozambique and you leave her there. How will you feel then?
It's an emotional time, absolutely. It's mixed between a sense of missing the dog, and there's always a distinct emotional aspect to it, but also a huge sense of pride that we've managed to contribute in a positive way to what's happening out there, and that the dog is filling its purpose. You know, from day one, this was the goal for the dog, and the fact that she's going to live a life where she's serving a purpose and that she's contributing to the efforts out there, which is in a dire state at the moment. I mean, there's a great sense of pride and a feeling of a sense of accomplishment and duty as well. So, yeah, it's a difficult one.
Do you have any worries whether she'll settle in or not?
No. Like, just from experience and their adaptability, the adaptability of the breed, and having a personal relationship with the handler in advance of going over there, like, it's a very rigorous process we put into the selection of the handler and the specific reserve that the dogs go to, in the sense of we want to know that they have the best interest of the dog at heart, that they value her not only as an asset but also as part of the team and a family member ultimately. And in that sense, we know that the dog is being very well cared for in every way. And it certainly makes it easier and puts us at ease leaving the dog there.
The training is very intense. It must be very expensive to get a dog ready to go to Africa.
It is. You'll be talking probably up to €20,000 to get a dog over. Now, that doesn't include any of us getting paid for it. That's just really the costs of the handler, one or two handlers going over, the dog going over, and all the blood tests, everything that needs to be done. And of course, bringing the dog up for 2 years, you know, food, vaccinations, all that.
Where do you see the future then? Will you continue this work, continue training dogs here, continue sending them out to Africa?
Yeah, absolutely. If we can, we will. We will do everything we can to continue with it, because we've put a lot of effort into it. We can see the changes there as well, and we see the appreciation of the new handlers when they get the dogs and what a difference it makes to them.
Fascinating story, Terry. Did you get some pictures?
Of course I did. Some beautiful pictures, and we'll have them up on the website.